Watch Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg on the Sunday morning, September the 22nd. Good morning, Georgia!
Morning!
And a good morning, and all you Tony Basil fans up in Gainesville.
You think she got fans up there?
She got fans everywhere, and I played this. I had Eric play this as we come into the 8 o'clock hour, because today is Tony Basil's birthday. Oh. Now, you can say she's a one-hit wonder, but she was more about a dance. She was a dancer. Let me tell you something. First of all, I was surprised at how old she was. When you think about it, you don't really know when she started. The song came out in the 80s, but she had been busy before that. Tony Basil is 81.
What?
Hey, exactly. She, Martha Stewart. But here's the crazy part. If you go to YouTube,
okay,
dancers are always dancers, right, in show business. Remember, we see these men and women who got older, and as they would appear on these shows, they could still hoof.
Yeah.
There's a video of Tony Basil at 74 breakdancing.
Huh?
Go check it out on YouTube.
What?
I take it back. Pop locking.
Okay.
Popping. Okay. She wasn't getting on her back and flipping around.
Yeah.
But she's still popping like she was doing in the dance in Mickey at 74. So shout out to Tony Basil.
You ain't kidding.
Throw that out there. Yeah, really, man. Happy birthday to her. Happy birthday to Joan Jett.
Okay.
Who I still to this day am quite proud. I got in one side of me, I had Charlie Daniels. This was in a charity event that when I was down the dial we did. And we were at Center Stage Theater, and we all had to come up on stage afterwards. And standing next to me on one side was Joan Jett, who everybody was giving everybody a hug and a kiss on the cheek. So I got a kiss on the cheek from Joan Jett.
Nice.
Which I...
Very nice.
Saved for a long time.
Very
and
nice.
Then I got that bear hug, which I've talked about before here, from Charlie Daniels, who seemed like he was 3 feet taller than me because he had the hat on and everything.
Right.
I felt like I was, you know, a munchkin. And he was this enormous, probably what people thought about John Wayne back in the day. But
yeah.
He was huge. So those are my memories. Joan Jett. And my favorite baseball player when it comes to inventing something that nobody else did before and has done since. Today is Jeffrey Leonard's birthday. And Jeffrey Leonard was famous for one flap down. Do you remember that?
Yeah, okay.
You got to go, you got to YouTube that one too for y'all who don't know. But this guy, I think he was with the Orioles, played Baltimore for a while, played for a couple teams. But he just thought it was a good idea one day, and then he started doing this for the rest of his career. When he hit a home run, he would leave one of his arms, you know, down by his side,
yeah,
and he'd use his other one to pump, you know.
Yeah.
It just looked, you know.
Had that look.
It was just a unique look. So I got the fact that he did it once, that's one thing. But then to continue to do it, he stayed in character. So that's why I love him. Anyway, coming up, we're going to talk to Chad Bishop. Thank you for securing him because, like I said, it's always usually around Georgia around here. But Georgia Tech kind of. They took over yesterday. They're on the front burner.
They are. They were. And we'll see what he has to say about their result and what we can look forward to going forward with the Jackets.
So we got a Cassie call also coming up before the end of the hour. We're going to talk about some things that are going on around town. Somebody I had met while I was over in by the barbershop yesterday. So we will talk about that. But listen, Ohtani and what he has done. As far as I'm concerned, the dude has fulfilled his contract. I would imagine the Dodgers are pretty happy about it. About that.
Oh, too. Absolutely.
But you came at this differently, as opposed to who's had a better season professionally in this country, and everybody has been saying, well, I shouldn't say everybody, but you know, a lot of people have been saying that this stands alone as the greatest season in American professional sports. Or professional sports, period. And all this hyperbole's been out there, and this is the greatest thing. And, okay, but now that the dust has settled and you thought about some other great seasons, we could start comparing those and putting numbers up. It actually sort of morphs into that whole LeBron-Michael Jordan thing. You want to argue about numbers because there's people who could say this was greater or whatever. But anyway, you came at it differently. But I will throw out one season.
Okay.
Because we got here, Abe was here. And Abe asked me what we were going to talk about, and I said, this is one of the things. So before we get into what you want to go, I will say, or I ask, Tigers 2000 season compared to what Ohtani did last year.
Okay.
That's one that comes
right,
to mind.
Right.
I'm sure there is a season with Gretzky where his numbers just morphed everybody
just ridiculous,
else.
Ridiculous, right?
Right. So I'm sure there's one of those, but the one that came to mind was Tiger's 2000 year.
Okay.
There is no conversation about him getting help doing other things, you know what I mean?
Yep, right.
So, yeah, that's the one. And we could debate that all day long. But, listen, you came at this a little bit differently, and let's see where we can go there. And your it was the effect, I think you said.
Was the effect. And because when we talk about a player that's the greatest one or the marquee player, or the greatest one of the modern era that everybody's eyes are on, and we talk about Steph Curry and his influence on basketball, how every kid walks through the gym and the first thing they want to try. And we talked about that for a mm-hmm. time, you know. And so we see certain players that have that certain value to their teams because that's what they do. Maybe not as well as he does, but that's what he does. And we've seen the influence not only in the NBA, we see it in the college high school game. The WNBA has been a big, big influence by the three-point shot this year as it has emerged into the spotlight the way it has. And because of that, and we talk about the quarterback we're going to see tonight in Mahomes and the things that he can do. We hope he doesn't do a whole lot of that tonight. But, you know, the things that he can do different, the improvisation and just the creativity and imagination while he's in the midst of playing. And we think we've seen a quarterback in Caleb Williams who possessed some of those things. Of course, time will tell as he has just come from Southern Cal to the NFL. What does Shohei Ohtani make young people coming into baseball want to do? To want to do both. You know, we've always separated a pitcher and said, you're a pitcher. You know, and then we went so far as to make the DH across both leagues. So we've totally taken the bat out of pitchers' hands, and that's the way the pitchers have been schooled and trained
at
all the training places. We talk about it in East Cobb, which is, you know, the proving ground for so many baseball players, who's next and who's coming up. I'm curious as to how many parents or coaches are seeing what he's doing, or Tony's doing, and saying, I don't want you to take that bat out of my kid's hand. Yeah, he can pitch. He's a great pitch, but he can hit as well, and I want him to continue to do that. And I just wonder, is he having that kind of impact? Are more kids wanting to do that, wanting to be recruited for that if they're going to college, or even if they're going from high school or whatever, straight being drafted, you know, into a major league team, and they're going to go and play in a farm system for several seasons before getting to the major leagues with that as a goal?
Well, the only you have to throw this part of it in. You got to be his size, too. It ain't like he's Steph Curry size. That's a big dude.
Right.
Okay, so that's a question that can only be asked by the parents or have this conversation. If you got a kid who's a dynamic player, but yet he's built like, let's say, Ronald Acuna, which I'm going to get back to here in a second.
Okay.
Then you may not have that same conversation. You don't see a power hitter in this kid. You see potential. You see power in spurts. You know, Ricky Henderson, I think he's still got the record for leadoff home runs in a game. But he's not considered a home run hitter, a power hitter. He can just do it from time to time. My thing with Ohtani, though, that you were talking about is, before we get into all that other stuff, let's have a conversation and ask this question. Can you definitively say what he did this year is infinitely better than what Ronald Acuna did last year? Because, see, this is where I've been having a hard time jumping off with all these people saying, 50-50, is this good? I mean, I was like, hang on a second. We saw somebody hit 10 less home runs last year and have 20-plus more stolen bases.
Yeah.
You know, and he's a lot, and the 10 less home runs are from a guy who's, you know, noticeably smaller than this other guy. So I guess what I'm getting to is, can we just say this season from Ohtani is, okay, if you want to say it's better, I'll give you that. But it's still not that much better than what we saw last year. And all the questions that you asked a second ago about the effect of Ohtani and what parents are saying, I could say those same questions I would imagine were asked last year to some degree.
But not like this year.
No, well, it's been so in your face this year.
But also we haven't seen him pitch. We haven't seen him pitch this year. And the thing of it is, that's the curiosity going forward. How the Dodgers use him. You know, if he's a starting pitcher, how many nights does he start? Those nights when he's not started, do you still allow him to DH? You know, you already said earlier, he's not going to run as much.
He ain't going to run as much.
He's going to have as many stolen bases going forward. So this is kind of an outlier of a season because he's not pitching. But we've seen him do both all the seasons leading up to this. So I'm just wondering, what's the influence of that? Are more kids wanting to do both and being a real headache for coaches who have in the past said, okay, you pitch, don't worry so much about hitting. No, this kid wants to do both because he's good at doing both. I think about a guy like Tim Hudson. He was a beast at Auburn. A great pitcher, but also he could light it up at the plate as well. Of course, he knew he was going to make his money pitching.
Right.
You know, but he could still hit because they hadn't made a DH in the National League when he came over from Oakland and came to the Braves. All of a sudden he had the bat back in his hand, you know, on the nights when he started.
My thing is, and where people are screaming at the radio, whether it's us or anybody else having this conversation, again, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, is this. And as I was saying, Abe, when I got in here this morning, Abe and I were going back and forth, and he was saying to him that, you know, what we watched this year was a glorified designated hitter. When you put it like that.
Okay.
And so we get back to the conversation. Ronald Acuña played center field. He played the outfield last year.
Right.
So he did everything that he did, plus was a top flight. Did he get a gold glove his last year?
I don't think so.
Okay, but he's one of the top outfielders. Okay. So that's what Ohtani didn't have or didn't do this year. So that's why you can't dismiss what we saw last year, because we saw the steals, we saw the home run, we saw the power, and we saw the fielding. So then you got to ask yourself, okay, everything that you just described, if Ohtani gets the ball again next year and he starts pitching again, what part of what we saw this year will suffer? And do we put this year that much more ahead of what we saw last year from Ronald Acuña? Again, these are the questions that...
If he's pitching, he may make it fewer at-bats.
Yeah.
I don't know how you deal with it. The nights when he starts pitching, when he leaves the game for pitching, do you still put him in as DH, and he's just done for the night? I don't know how the Angels – I remember how the Angels played that. The nights when he started, if he leaves the game in the sixth inning, do you want that bat to leave when he leaves if you really need it? I mean, that's the other equation. And the Dodgers haven't had to deal with that yet.
It's all a work in progress.
Yeah, it is.
Say a little prayer for the man who said – nobody goes to that place anymore. It's too crowded. That's a Yogiism. We lost Yogi on this date.
All right.
Yogi Berra. And we also lost...
Deja vu all over again.
Yes, exactly. Your favorite Yogiism. and we lost this guy. What am I doing? Badly. Pantomime.
Marceau. That's a bad pantomime.
I told you it was a bad one.
That was an awful
pantomime. At least you can do is talk during it.
That's an awful pantomime.
Yeah, what am I doing over there? Elliot Ramos.
Okay.
As we leave this, and we've been talking baseball, shout out to, and I'm saying the name wrong, the first part, Elliot Ramos. Do you know who he is?
Not sure.
Baseball player. He's a right-handed baseball player. He's the first player in history as a right-handed batter to put a ball into McCovey Cove.
Ah.
He hit a home run in San Francisco this past week as a right-handed batter and put it in the Cove. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sam and Greg with you. in the 8 o'clock hour on this Sunday morning. So glad you were. Beautiful sunshine outside. It's going to be a hot one, though, folks.
Yeah, it is.
It's going to be a hot one once again. And summer don't want to let go. It's time for summer to let go, but summer don't want to let go.
No, and it's all right because we had a little nice little brief respite last week. called the 80s. But it's up in the 90s today.
Yeah, the 80s are due to be back later on this week. But for the next 2-3 days, we're still going to be dealing with this heat. But that's okay.
And by the way, we got some tailgaters that are literally starting.
Okay.
Even though it's tonight. We got other things going on. People are watching games at places. So they're having their own little private get-together. We're going to talk some food in a little bit here. And I was up here this past week, and I'm going to tell you who I talked to about that.
So. Okay. Yeah. All right. All right. Coming up. Great.
We got Cassie call up next.
Oh, we Money. Really got stuff Line happening there, you know?
Yeah.
And I tell you what, the fish were back over at Georgia State this week. The South Georgia catfish.
Oh, explain that coming up next segment. Yeah.
They were back this week.
Fictitious football team.
Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets went to take it on the chin, and they won in every statistical category, but they come back with a loss from up at Louisville. But Chad Bishop keeps up with everything Georgia Tech with AJC and AJC.com. He joins us now on the WadeFord.com hotline. Chad, good morning.
Morning, Chad.
Hey, morning, guys. I might actually want to stick around and talk food with you guys instead of that football game yesterday.
Well, you know, what is your go-to? Sam always likes to ask, when you don't have to work, when you're not doing what you're doing, let's say you were getting ready for the game tonight. What's on your grill?
You know, I'll give you a top three. I'm a big barbecue fiend, man. I love my barbecue, really good barbecue. You know, a good southern cooked meal with some fried chicken, I'll throw that in there. And then you can't beat tacos, man, if I can find some good tacos. Those would probably be the top three things I'd be looking for.
All right, let me help him out with. First of all, you get your wings, you go to Publix. You know how I feel about Publix wings. Breaded all, Publix wings across the board. Now, barbecue, that's a little different. And here's what we're going to start doing. What do you think about this, Sam? Because we talked to steak. Right?
Okay.
Steak Shapiro. And, of course, everybody knows Steak in Atlanta Eats. So instead of pinning him down to one particular spot, I went and talked to him this week about you and I mentioning him and coming up with tailgating food. If you go to Atlanta Eats and their website, and I'm saying this to you too, Chad, and you just click on, because he's got one of those scroll-down menus, a restaurant finder, and you just click on it and go to barbecue, he got about a ton of these barbecue places that he has done videos for Atlanta Eats. There you go. And that'll help you out. There. You can go call him up, grab something, and bring it back to the house. So that's
perfect,
my help there.
Perfect.
There you go.
There we go. There
We're
we go.
All helping
go.
Each other.
Well, he needs that because he saw Georgia Tech put up good numbers yesterday, but the numbers that matter came up short.
Yeah.
Explain to us what happened in this game yesterday.
Man, it was really, really odd and really uncharacteristic of the Yellow Jackets. I mean, Brent Key has really prided himself on having a team that is smart and disciplined. And tough and physical. And those things kind of went out the window yesterday. I mean, having a field goal blocked in return for a touchdown, you know, star quarterback Haynes King makes an ill-advised play on a read option that goes for a fumble that's recovered in the end zone. So they spotted Louisville 14 points. And then a ton of third and shorts and fourth and shorts that the offensive line just could not move Louisville off the line of scrimmage to pick up a yard or two to keep drives alive. I mean, they had a fourth and goal at the 2 that they couldn't punch in. Now that turned out to be fortuitous because it ended up being a safety for Louisville. But just sort of an odd day up there in Louisville to see Georgia Tech sort of struggle with some things you'd expect maybe, you know, out of year one of a coach, right? Or maybe for a new system or a new team. But they got a lot of guys back from last year and a lot of coaches back from last year. And they seem to have definitely yesterday regressed a little bit. So it was really odd to see and watch that transpire. I think the good news for them, right, is now they have a bye week coming up. They've played 5 games already, which is crazy. I think it's going to be a chance for them to rest and really hit that reset button and say, all right, things are not working. What can we do to get back on track like we were in 2023?
Chad Bishop joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. My question is, what would you or how would you describe this team post Florida State, post being on the national stage? How did they take that win and do whatever magic comes from that, or as far as moving forward with this team in the program?
Yeah, it's a good question. You have to wonder. I mean, it's human nature for kids to win a big game like that on a national stage, and everybody pats them on the back, and they get ranked in the top 25 not too long after that, and thinking that maybe they have arrived when clearly they have a very, very long way to go. Another thing that I've been bringing up, you know, kind of quite a bit, which Georgia Tech, you know, they're not making excuses and they're not talking about this. But I think it's starting to show that that trip all the way out to Dublin and all the way back, and then a couple weeks later having to go all the way up to Syracuse and all the way back, having played five games when most everybody else has only played two or three, I think that's starting to wear them down too. So, again, I think this bye week comes at a great time for them to sort of, again, rest and reset and sort of try to figure out a way to get back to that Florida State game and to get back to that bowl game last year where they dominated UCF, and even back to the Georgia game last year where they played Georgia really close for 3.5, almost 3 3/4 of a game. The offensive line is just not the same as it was last year despite bringing four or five starters back. They're not moving people. They're not being as dominantly physical as they were last year. The ground game cannot get going. They seem to be overthinking things a little bit. So it's back to the drawing board, to use the cliche, but they have to go back and find out what works for this particular team and how they can be successful.
Spending time on the waitfor.com hotline this morning with Chad Bishop. He is social. You can always find him at Mr. Chad Bishop, at Mr. Chad Bishop, at 3-2, as you said. Five games into this season, just doing some fact-finding. Was susceptible to the big plays the defense was at times yesterday, too, and that's something else that has to be concerned.
It is, because, you know, this defense was not good in 2023, and that's why they brought in Tyler Santucci, the new defensive coordinator. And, you know, they played well against Florida State, and they played well against Georgia State. But Syracuse really exposed them, and I think that was evident against Louisville as well with the passing game. You know, they shut down. It was interesting to hear them in the post-game press conference talk about, you know, they knew they had to shut down the run against Louisville. Well, they did that, but they didn't shut down the pass. So that doesn't do a whole lot of good if you don't shut down both aspects of the Louisville offense. A lot of big plays, a lot of not getting off the field on third down, which was a big problem in 23 as well. You know, all things considered, they still only let up 17 points if you take away the defensive touchdown and the special teams touchdown. But again, this defense still clearly has a long way to go, and that's tough because the ACC usually is a high-scoring league with a lot of good quarterbacks and a lot of good teams. And they're going to, again, have to figure that out in the bye week as well, because everybody thought this defense would be better than it is. They're not creating a pass rush. They're not getting in the backfield of opponents. The defensive line seems to be stymied day in and day out. Again, they got some things to figure out going into this bye week.
Hey, Chad, when you sit around with your friends or coworkers, how do you talk about the ACC right now, given what's going on with this conference?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of a mess. You know, like I think there was expectations for this league to be pretty good. Obviously, I think everybody thought Florida State being top 10 to start the year, you know, would not be 1-3 at this point, right? You know, Clemson, I really think Clemson probably will turn out to be a contender for the ACC title race, but they did not look good in that opening week against Georgia. Obviously, you know, Miami looks like world beaters right now, but Miami is prone to do what Miami does and maybe drop a game here to a team they shouldn't. I mean, that's kind of been their recent history. So, you know, someone asked me recently, you know, can the ACC get two teams in the college football playoff? And right now, to me, it looks like the only path for that is a team like, say, Miami to go unbeaten and then maybe lose in the ACC title game. And there's one team getting the auto bid and one team getting the at-large. Because, you know, the rest of the league really hasn't held up the end of their bargain. NC State, we thought, might be good. They don't look so good. Virginia Tech was kind of a sleeper pick. They certainly don't look good. I was impressed with Louisville yesterday, but they've only played three games, and two of those games were against very, very inferior competition. So it does not appear to be, if you're going to separate those four Power Four leagues, I don't know where you put the ACC right now. Maybe third, maybe fourth out of those four. They really, really, in my estimate, haven't held up their end of the bargain as being really an elite league so far this season.
Yeah. You know, Duke is next for Georgia Tech, and then North Carolina. My goodness. They're like an Arena League game that broke out yesterday with them and James Madison. And a lot of people are whispering about Mac Brown up in Chapel Hill. Thoughts about that situation, because that's a, you know, it's one of the prime programs, has been in the conference.
It's crazy, man. You know, obviously, you know, Tech fans know that the new defensive coordinator in Chapel Hill is Jeff Collins, the former Georgia Tech coach. So for him to allow 70 points is a storyline to follow. That James Madison team They scored 13 a week ago against Gardner-Webb and then dropped 70 on North Carolina. So there's some issues there for sure. And I sort of relate it to Georgia Tech's schedule. We came in this season thinking Georgia Tech's schedule would be, you know, one of the toughest in the country, and maybe it's not. You know, maybe, like I said, NC State might not be that good. North Carolina looks like it has major issues. Duke is 4-0, but they have a new coach, and they play North Carolina this week. Notre Dame, maybe they're not as good as people thought that Georgia Tech has on their schedule. So it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. And you know, Mack Brown, to me, we were talking about this in the press box, sort of has Bobby Bowden vibes at the end of his tenure. Just can't really seem to maybe let go and say it's time to step aside, because I don't know how you justify giving up 70 points to a James Madison team that, again, not the same James Madison team as they were last year, still a quality program, but you can't give up 70 at home, really, to anybody, if you think about it.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
I want to get his thoughts on what we talked about earlier, Chad, and that was the governor signing into law that the NCAA can't come after. This is the first state in the country to say, I'm going to allow our schools to pay these players, and you can't come after them. Georgia's the first. I don't know who's going to be second, but your thoughts on that, does it move the needle in any specific way for you?
No, not necessarily. And the reason why is because this NIL stuff is so, it's so out there. Like, nobody really knows, like, what the rules are or who's doing what. And I don't know if it really would change Kirby Smart or Brent Key's mindset, right? Like, I think those guys would continue about their business. I'm sure they're aware of it, right? And they say, oh, that's great. That's good to know. But I don't think it's going to, you know, stop what they've been doing or make them go to an extra mile to do anything different. You know, I think it's definitely good, and it shows that, you know, the Board of Regents is definitely committed to making, you know, Georgia athletes be able to be compensated for what they're doing on the courts and on the fields. But I don't know. I just, when we talk about NIL, it's an issue that, to me, changes every 3 months, changes every 6 months. So it's an interesting step, right? But I don't know how much of an impact, you know, it'll have moving forward in the immediate future anyway, because I just think these coaches across the board will just continue to do what they've been doing. And then if they're told to do something different, they'll pivot. The good ones will anyway. So I don't know how much of an impact it'll have in the immediate future. But again, time will tell to see, you know, how it plays out in the long-term future, so to speak.
Yep. We'll be watching for that. Hey, we always enjoy having you join us. Chad, and we appreciate you spending some time with us this
morning. Don't be a stranger.
Yeah.
All right. I got it. Hey, I'm going to go enjoy my bye week. How about that?
There you go. Put something on the grill.
Thanks so much for the time.
Appreciate it, buddy.
All right, guys. See ya.
All right. Thank you. That's Chad Bishop joining Sam and Greg. All manner of things to talk about coming up. I got to fit it into a small window. Among those, how you guys can find some of this money flying through the air. The industry is down right now, but there are jobs being filmed all around the city. I'll tell you about a few coming up next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and take us with you in the Odyssey app. There's been a hijacking, folks. There's been a thievery. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. On this 22nd day of September, I want to thank you for letting us be a part of your Sunday mornings. We'll get our Saturdays back sometime soon. Leave that going there for Eric for a little bit here. You have to record it in the days. Does it die out? Yeah, leave it. Yeah, right there. Perfect. Thank you very much. Little bit more. If you don't remember, this is my song. This is my birthday was last week, right?
Yep.
This is my song. Until I got married. Which happened on this date yesterday.
Oh, man.
And a conversation came up, and somebody was sitting in the room going, ooh, and that song came on and went, oh, that's our song. Hang on a second. No, that's my song. My birthday's in September. Well, no, we got married. They say, yeah, but that's my song. Well, I had an argument until I remembered what the first line of the song was, and there was no getting around it.
Yeah.
Do you remember
mm-hmm.
the 21st night of December of September? So we got married on the 21st.
Yep.
I'm done. The argument just went right down the... even
gone.
That, even, you know... Best lawyer would have given it. So anyway, I say that tongue-in-cheek, and this is a discussion we have around the house all the time. But anyway, yesterday...
Well, I would say happy anniversary.
I'm about to, man. Don't be...
Come on, man.
Hang on a second. I'm getting to that.
Go ahead.
Happy anniversary. Hey. You happy now? I was trying to build up to it because I was messing around at the beginning. I'm trying to keep myself so I can put my feet up and watch games today. Nobody give me a hard time. Baby, Cheesy. She knows what's up. And Jesse.
Oh, Jesse.
Say that for the dog Jesse, now. The dog's Jesse, jumping on her.
Great.
Again, I'm going to let you guys know where some money is flying through the air. You go to 929thegame.com/castingcall. You are going to see the current list of job opportunities. You can also see them at Get Cast with Greg on X. And like I said, it is very slow right now. People know that about the industry. There's various reasons why I could get into it, but it doesn't matter. It's slow, but there is still work out there. And I'll give you an idea of what's going on. Stranger Things are back up and around. That's one of the biggest shows out there, right?
Yeah, right.
There is a feature role this week that Heather over at Casting Taylor Made needs. You will see it on the breakdown. Need an adult. And again, I'm not going to. I want you to go to the site because it sort of varies as far as what they're looking for. So I just want you guys to see them all. But here's the deal: you're going to have a handful of days to get fitted, and they pay you.
Ah.
To go get fitted.
Okay.
And then the shoot dates are in early October. So you'll see that. It's the first breakdown. Casting Tailor Made. You'll see Stranger Things on there. Destination Casting. They got a new design series. They're literally going to have some people come in and renovate parts of your house. You have to just go to the breakdown, new design series, under Destination Casting.
Where you sign up for that?
It's like a home makeover.
Right, right.
There's the link there. They'll tell you where to go sign up.
Okay, all right.
So if you fit what they're looking for, you could have your home made over. Hilton Casting doing His and Hers. This is over on Netflix. Need a bunch of folks for a private school scene. They need private school students. And again, you got to be at least 18 years, but sign up for that one if you want to. And then Cab Casting doing a new Netflix series. They have multiple roles: teachers, students, police officers, visitors, protesters. You will see this all under Cab Casting. So when you see those jobs, you get past those, and those are in front of the camera. I walk you through how to find the jobs behind the camera. Now, I put these on there because these jobs will film a little ways out. So this is not happening tomorrow. You have to turn around and submit yourself. So I give you a good runway to get yourself ready for these jobs. But I also tell you to go to the list of the casting directors' social media pages. I have them on this breakdown. You get past film industry and voiceover info. First is behind the camera, then the link to the Georgia Department of Labor, then the voiceover contacts. And then I provide you with a list of the casting directors. You just go to their social media pages tonight, Tuesday morning, Wednesday afternoon, Thursday night. You can see the new jobs that they have. And a lot of them are commercials. A lot of them also, Sam, there's stuff being shot down in Macon, down in Savannah.
Okay.
Up in Chattanooga.
Okay.
Nashville. So while it is not so busy here in Georgia, these casting directors got to keep the doors open, and so they are picking up jobs around this region. So if you don't mind jumping in the car, taking a little ride, you can book some of these. And then after the casting directors, there is a sort of generic version of how to submit yourself, if you've never done that before. So any questions about any of this stuff, greg.clarkson@odyssey.com. And you can also, like I said, see the list up on Get Cast with Greg on X.
The fish, the fish were back this week.
Now, what Sam is talking about is over there at Georgia State, mm-hmm. they were obviously using that as a film location, and as I have done in the past, I have filled up stands. We've asked our listeners to be extras in the stands for a fictitious football game, and that's what's going on over there, and the team is?
The South Georgia Catfish.
But how you discovered them, which is the best part of the story.
I'm just walking to practice over there one day, and I'm seeing something up above the things that you touch before you go out on the field, like play, mm-hmm. like whatever, you know. And I saw this, it's instead of blue and white, which everything in there is blue and white with the Georgia State logos, it's blue and gold. And then again, because it's South Georgia, it's like, go fish. You know, the little slogans all over the place, man. Yeah. They got an area set up with like retired jerseys. With people's names, like
the greats
of the past, the great fish.
The great fish of the past. Picture a flipper up there? That would be a mammal.
But I don't know what the name of the project is, but you know, they have the base camp set up right up in the parking lot, on the parking lot up near the other side of the Publix.
Yeah.
It's over there. And they're working in there, and when they come in, it's the home of the It's home of the catfish.
And that gives me an excuse to mention once again, when you have projects like that, whether it's a team or an individual sport, much like King Richard with Venus and Serena's movie, there's a company, one of the companies, and the one that I talk about is Game Changing Films. Mm-hmm. And Game Changing Films helps supply athletes of all ages. So I tell parents of kids, yeah, I know y'all are putting these videos together to try and get your kid into college or get them any kind of NIL deal, whatever. Well, also send that video over to Game Changing Films, because when they make movies in this area, if you whatever the sport is, I don't care if the kid's a swimmer, tennis player, basketball, team sport, or individual sport, there will be a project that comes up that they will need that athlete to play across from the star right. of that particular movie or TV show. So Game Changing Films and Mr. Ellis, his brother, is the dude who's the voice of South Carolina, the Gamecocks.
Oh, Todd Ellis.
Todd Ellis. His brother started this company. Mark Ellis.
Okay. All right. Well, fantastic. Well, here's the other thing, too. It could potentially be a fundraiser for a school team. If they
yes,
need a
exactly,
team, right?
Yes.
It'd be a fundraiser, whatever you would get paid for being an extra. And I know of a number of schools who have been able to do that for some projects, you know, take their entire team and have them play the roles and it benefit the school. So that's another different way of doing it. As I stumbled up on a band doing a fundraiser yesterday, you know, different things. So this is another way to do it.
Also, I want to make, and I forgot to say this earlier. So anyway, you guys got any questions about any of this stuff, greg.clarkson@odyssey.com. I will get back to you. I wanted to mention, though, and this is also around town because, you know, I mentioned the anniversary, and so JC and I have been out a couple weeks because I ain't got to come in here and do a show with you on Saturdays no more. So I get my Friday nights. I got to go out a couple Friday nights and been to some of the old stomping ground I hadn't been to in a while.
Okay.
Like one of the places I used to go to, we talk about all the time, is Blind Willie's.
Yeah.
You know how I love the blues.
Oh, on Highland.
We love the blues.
Virginia.
Right there, right?
Right here in Highland.
Now, I was taken aback after the pandemic when I went back there and heard that you could bring food into Blind Willie's. Yeah, you got people sitting in there ordering, you know, DoorDash. Because there was an issue with their kitchen.
With the kitchen, yeah.
So they were allowing people to bring food in. You can order food in while you're listening to Sandra Hall, right? Here's something I didn't know. There was a dude in there with dog. You could bring your dog in now. He had one of them little Paris Hilton dogs, man.
Oh, yeah,
you can bring it. As long as your dog's behaved, they'll let you bring it in.
Wow.
This ain't your grandfather's Blues Club.
No, it's not. You used to have to park the dog outside when you go there.
Now, I also want to tell you this because I've been getting out and about here. Yesterday, I had a meeting, and we decided to have it over there by the barbershop. It was in Castleberry. So folks need to know what's going on around the corner here in town. Like a 9-iron from Mercedes-Benz, if you don't know the neighborhood, Castleberry Hill. They had what was known as the Urban Regatta. I'd never heard of that. Are you familiar with that?
No.
The Urban Regatta celebrates artists, small businesses, and neighbors that have made historic Castleberry Hill the most dynamic and vibrant community in Atlanta. That's where the Gulch is, right? That's what's building up over there. So you know what that place is going to look like, right? For almost a decade, the events have become part of Atlanta's this neighborhood. And well, basically what this is kind of like the Soapbox Derby, but with bikes. And these people have all these boat-like races, but they're on bicycles, and it's just amazing.
You taking any pictures of this?
I didn't take any pictures, but you can go online and see the Urban Regatta.
Okay.
But at the end of the day, the festival benefits the Steam Sport program at the John Hope Community Center. So this was going on yesterday, and we met some listeners that were there, and I want to give a shout-out to Chris and Michelle. Michelle is who I met yesterday, Michelle Dunbar. They have what is being touted as the oldest African-American bike shop. I don't know if it's in the country, definitely in the state of Georgia.
Okay.
And it's Aztec Cycles. So they were out there.
Okay.
Like I said, it was all about biking. But it was a cool little community. We talk about going to the barbershop all the time, but you get to walk around Castleberry Hill. So that's one of those places. I don't know if the event is going on again today, but you can go on out there. But I did want to give Michelle and Chris a shout out there because, like I said, if you've been around this long and you have that title, you're worthy. Aztec Cycles, the oldest African-American bike shop
nice.
in I'm going to say, the tri-state area.
The tri-state. Not the tri-state
area. So yeah, man. Just stuff is going on around here. The question continues, will the Swifties overrun the, what you call it, area, the tailgating area tonight?
Yep.
Is she showing up? What's on the grill? I came up here this past week, and I wanted to seek out for our show, Steak Shapiro, and have a conversation with him and get his thoughts on it, because we're going to talk food. You know, you got to start with steak, right?
Yeah.
So, and on my way up here, ran into Larry Tinsley, who told me to tell you hello. He was having an issue getting up the elevator.
Oh, no.
So me and Larry saw each other. So Steak and I had a nice conversation, and we couldn't really wrap our minds and solidify an idea that we were going to do, but we were thinking about it, okay? And, you know, whether it's a chef that's out, he knows everybody that's cooking. But what I wanted to really find out was, where can we direct people to get thoughts on what to put on the grill? We know the usual suspects. We just got through talking to Chad Bishop. He's told us what he's going to throw on there. But it's got to be game specific. Case in point, what does a place like Kansas City say that they're great at? Barbecue, right? They're saying about ribs. So if you're getting ready for a Kansas City-Atlanta game and you're thinking about putting ribs on, whether, you know, Kansas City style or whatever, you just go to their Atlanta Eats website.
Okay.
And you click on this. Like, I didn't know. I hadn't been there in a minute. I think I went there when Steak first started the show, but I haven't been back since, I'll be honest with you. So I went back there after we had this conversation, and Atlanta Eats Restaurant Finder. And so if you're looking for a place to maybe grab stuff to bring out there as far as fixings or an idea of where to get some, there you go. You can go on his site. If it's breakfast and brunch, again, Atlanta Eats. They'll tell you who's got that. So some folks know what they're going to put on a grill. Some folks like to grab something and bring it with them. So breakfast and brunch would be one of those places you could go by and get something and bring it by. So while he's not here, Steak is always on top of mind, right? So we can send you to Atlanta Eats, and you can find out the breakfast and brunch places that are open to grab to take out there. So that's one of the spokes that we have in our wheel when we start talking about tailgating for upcoming Falcons games. I know I went to New York by way of Phoenix on this story, but there you go. I wrapped it up here. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think it's great, but you know, you mentioned barbecue in Kansas City barbecue. We got a guy coming up here in a few minutes who can tell us.
Tell us what?
About Kansas City barbecue.
Oh, I can tell you about it. I want to know where to get it.
No, this is a guy who's been living there, but now he's going to be coming to live here.
Well, he ain't bringing them back with him. Well, what's the point?
But he's going to tell you what the best, because he knows some places still here in town. I think that's the thing that's going to make it interesting. But we're going to introduce him to a lot of people who may not know, because he's going to be here in the city, and we're glad we get a chance to roll him out here this morning.
That's a nice tease. We'll get into that in just a little bit. But anyway, again, any questions about the film industry and how to find some of this money, greg.clarksonodyssey.com. And, of course, you can see the list. Like I said, it's up on GetCast with Greg on X. Into the 9 o'clock hour, Joe Patrick will be joining us, talk about somebody doing double duty. He'll be getting us ready for tonight's Falcons-Kansas City game. But up next, as Mr. Crenshaw said, we're going to be talking Falcons-Kansas City, but with a guy who is relocating. And it's a nice story. That's coming up next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. And take us with you in the Odyssey app.